Welcome to VFN Radio. You are listening to where we keep the conversation light. The light of the world, the light of the gospel, God's perspective, God's news behind the news. Hope, where men say it's hopeless. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
The producer of VFN Radio program. Also, in a little while joining us will be John Ramos, and hopefully Chris will be able to join us a little bit today.
Hey.
Hola. Okay. Come on. that's Texan.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to be talking about Israel is all fenced in. It's all fenced in on every side. What is going on? We're talking about the crucified life. What does it mean to live a crucified life? Also, this new book by Dr. James Dobson and Kurt Bruner called Fatherless. Going to talk about it a little bit. It's an amazing faction. It's like it's the actual statistics, what really is. He kind of takes it, tells a story with it. And all I got to say is, oh, my goodness. But I got good news for you. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Oh, yeah. Or else he'll smite the earth with a curse. We'll talk about that in a minute. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Soon to be John and Chris.
Hey.
Here we are. I am really excited about sharing about Fatherless, this book written by Dr. James Dobson. Dr. James Dobson is the one that founded Focus on the Family. This generation might not even know who that is, but for the longest time, he carried the torch for the family, for America, when the family was falling apart. And, you know, you had the 60s was happening, the 70s was happening. He began to write books and about parenting and God's way of doing things, and had a voice every single day on the radio that was so encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he just stepped down and kind of turned that over to others, you know, and it's kind of never the same. You know, it's good,
yeah.
But it's sort of like, okay, cool, you know, this is for the next generation. And but they wrote this book. It's called Fatherless, and I think the three. This is a trilogy. The first one's Fatherless. I think the next one is Childless, and the last one is Godless.
Wow,
isn't it amazing? It starts with the fathers.
Sure does.
And I mean, we really have participated in that prophetic word, and we look forward to be able to talk to you about that. And people that have children in this book, he's talking about it. They call them birthers. You know, you're just weighing on the tax load.
Oh, wow.
Having more children. Not realizing they're the ones that pay taxes. It's the people, human beings. We'll talk about that. Instead of killing people, they call it transitioning. Transitioning.
And
they
got a word for everything.
Yeah, got a word for everything. Oh, no. You're transitioning. And this is the most heroic thing for you to do because it allows for more food for more people. And you use less resources, and you really are strained. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are hitting 40,
right?
And so we'll be talking about that. Believe it or not, this is their mindset. And since the day the birth of Jesus, you know, remember Satan immediately went trying to kill every child around, as many human means as possible, especially children, though, because one of them is going to be Jesus. But also, when Moses was born, the very same thing, and My throat's a little husky today because it's humid here.
Yeah.
But soon it maybe not. And so it was Moses. And Moses was born, and you know, they knew that, hey, they've got to find this Moses, and you got to snuff him out because he's going to deliver all these people who are making me money and serving me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They're going to deliver the Israelites. And so they went and started killing babies everywhere. Well, what they're doing now, it's happening what? John, how many abortions has happened since 1973 in America? 40 million? I think 40 million. 40 million children have been killed in the womb. And in the context of that, it's cranking up to a new level now. Now that we're okay, man's mindsets are saying that's not bad to take a child out before they can speak their first word.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could speak their first word, they would say, what are you doing?
Right.
My whole life's ahead of me here. You don't even know me yet.
Right.
You don't even know how I'm going to be. You don't even know if I'm going to be trouble to you. I might help you when you get old. I might be there for you, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the enemy just really wanting to snuff out, you know, the next generation. But now They're talking about self-assisted suicides and you know, does this person really, why they're justifying now taking children in the womb is like, you know, they might have a defect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Their hand might not operate right.
Right.
Or they're, you know, or they might have a limp.
Right, right.
Or they could be short. No, I'm missing. Obviously, John's not hearing us. He's getting no feedback right now. Can't hear anything. Right. We can see all kinds of things about
him. I know, man.
You can see him, but he can't hear us. Did I ever tell you about the one with John? And, you know, DNA, Down syndrome, even now sex selection they're talking about. And mm-hmm. they're deciding on what kind of child they want and, like, designer drugs. Now they're having designer children. And it's all a mindset to destroy the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And they take it to the next level in this fiction, but facts. They're all statistical, backed up, resourced facts in the back of the book. And Fatherless by Dr. James Dobson. And they're just going to the next level and say, well, why don't we just transition them? And they're presenting it as a heroic thing,
mm-hmm.
as a heroic thing that, hey, you're doing society a favor. You're doing your family a favor because you are a burden. I mean, look at your hand. Mm. I mean, you know, right? You know, look at your, well, you're, you know, look at your, you know, whatever. And they just point out all of our little things. Like, uh-huh. like all of us don't have little things, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I can't wait to be, you know, share that with you because that's our heart. I really believe that God is going to begin to really just explode the revelation of him as our father. And that's what people are wanting. They're wanting God. And it's amazing too, how many people who just refuse to father. I mean, they just refuse to father. They'll do a form of fathering, but when it comes time to be a father, they kind of adjust all that and just think, you know, I could do this, but not that. And it's like, well, no, father is just a father. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Just a father.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout everything. And so we'll be talking about that today. If you hadn't got it yet, you need to get Dr. Dobson's new book called Fatherless. It is a part of a trilogy. This is the first one, the second two. The next one's going to be Childless, and the one after that is going to be Godless. Mm-hmm. And if we don't stop this, if things don't turn, this is what's going to be happening. This is our progression. And in Japan right now, as a matter of fact, they're trying to get Japanese to have children. They're just trying to get them to have children. You know, these little things they had that you had, it was an electronic thing. You had to feed it so many times a day. And mm-hmm. it was like a pet animal, but it was a digital thing. It was like a little small thing. And the kids got really addicted to.
Oh, yeah. I forgot what they were called.
Time to feed your pet or something.
Yeah.
But it was just like a little small key ring type thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But people just were just driven by, okay, it's time I got to feed my thing.
Right.
But then they also came out of Japan was these pigs that feel just like pigs, you know, that they're, you know, like the flesh and they're, you know, needing to be taken care of. And what they're all trying to do with these things, they're trying to actually create the desire inside, you know, some of the population of Japan who's choosing not to have children to say, you know, kick in that parental instinct inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And because you know, if you have a child, that's what's like, he's hungry again. Mm-hmm. And he's changing
his
again.
Diaper stinks.
He wants more. He wants more money again. You know,
right.
These different things. And it's like, but you know, if you're used to living for yourself and being narcissistic and that type of thing, which I think there's a few of that situations in America, that you're just shocked when you find out this child is wanting something from you all the time. Mm. And you can say it's about you. But if you got a child, even though they might not be able to talk, it will become all about the child.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to have to be there. And you see a lot of people that get in abusive situations with their children because they're demanding silence. They're demanding, you know, quietness, that they want my time. And it's like, hey, that's another human being.
Right.
You got to be, you got to parent child. That child. And the most selfless thing that you could do is to be a parent to your child or someone else's child or through adoption. Or be a spiritual parent, you know, that where many parents weren't able to parent or someone not to be parented, that you can believe God to say, you know what, I'm going to be that in somebody's life. I'm going to stand. I'm going to want better things for them than I had in my own life. I'm going to do everything I can to empower them to be successful and fruitful and faithful and have a good life and to produce a healthy next generation. And And so I believe that in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, that God is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And I do believe there's an ultimatum, too, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. And I think the trembling that we're hearing right now is motivation. God has a way of motivating us to say, oh, you know, hey, I'm thinking about turning my heart. Why? A meteorite hit me in the head last night.
Wow.
You know, I was listening to CBN News this morning, and Pat Robinson wrote a book on meteor, you know, that the only way these certain things can happen that God's talking about in these last days, it has to be a meteor. It just has to be a meteor that hits the earth, meteorite. And he says he's thinking about republishing the book because now they just defunded with NASA anything about tracing or tracking meteors.
Wow.
Yeah, and they just and at that point, you know, we have no hope because we have to know about it decades in advance that it's going to be coming through our atmosphere. And so they asked the question in a panel in D.C. yesterday, I believe it was, and they were asking, I think the head of NASA says, well, then what if we have a meteorite coming towards Earth, like we know it's coming in about 3 weeks, what do we do? And this is the guy that heads it up. He goes, we pray.
I heard that.
We pray. He says, or else I'll smite the Earth with a curse. You know, I can't tell you, only God can tell you what's going fully on, but he lets us know sometimes in part, we prophesy in part. But I do know just recently God has shown us stones and boulders coming from the sky. Mm-hmm. And to me that means rocks. Mm-hmm. And the meteorite is a rock coming. Mm-hmm. And that would be something, wouldn't it? But it causes all men's hearts to fail because of fear. It causes people to cry out and be in despair. And it doesn't take much. I mean, it doesn't take much to shake human nature. We're so frightened. God is so loving and kind because he could just move his finger. You know, we're like, oh, life is over as we know it.
Right.
And you know, maybe that's something that's going to be happening. He says, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. So listen, it's time to be mothers. It's time to be fathers. It's time to be family. It's time to pick up the torch of the family and say, you know what? We're going to be family and play your role in the family. Do what you're supposed to do. Trust God that he would grace you. And he tells us how to do it in his word and hope and pray that the others that are in your family are going to operate like that. At least they have something to reject. Right. At least they know what they've rejected. So the day that they do repent, they can come back to normalcy. If you throw your hands up and go, well, they're not going to listen anyway, and you don't continue on being a father, they won't even, you know, you won't even be on their grid if they repent. And they might not know what repentance looks like because you gave up and you said, well, I'm not going to parent them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I'm going to encourage you, you know, realize that the adversary is after family, after fathers, after mothers, the whole concept of family. And you'll have to fight to have family. I mean, you'll have to fight to have family, but it's called a fight of faith. It's actually worth it. And even if you don't get what you felt like was supposed to happen, when you stand before the throne of God, he's going to go, wow, you fought for what was right. You fought the good fight of faith. You stood for righteousness with your family. You stood for, and this is what Paul said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:15 through 17, he says, we have 10,000 teachers, you know, and I just got to be honest with you. If I hear one more teaching without any fathering, it's like, come on, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
We have 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. And then he says, for I'm your father in Christ Jesus. And then he says, imitate me. And so we have to not only just to begin to be the father, but we have to live a life as a spiritual father, spiritual mother that people can imitate. Because our biggest dilemma quite often is, and a frustration, is when our children act like us.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. His eyes roll up, you know. You know, it's like, where did you learn that? Your dad. All and right. So, or you, Pat. You see? No. Luckily, you know, he walks on water.
They all wear same shirts. They all, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, the Saints. No west of the Mississippi jokes right now. And so it is time. This is going to be, it's the best thing you can do to fight this darkness and this evilness and and the craziness that's coming out of the response of the people in America, out of D.C., is to just live right before God. Mm. Just live a life of light. Read God's word, abide with him, let him lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, empowering you by his spirit, amazing you by his grace, and watch. Just do that. Don't be telling everybody else what to do. Don't criticize or judge everybody. Walk it out yourself. You'll be more humble when you do it. You'll realize, oh my goodness, it's not that easy. Because you need to say, imitate me. You need to live a life that says, and when they do, you need to say, you know, thank God, you know, that it was worth the fight. And so we have to begin to fight for family. And the first family you fight for is your own. You know, begin to live right before God in your own household. Make right choices. Make right media choices. Listen, we'll be talking soon about hand sins, foot sins, and eye sins, but the biggest sin today is the eye and the heart sin. The enemy just skipped them all and just went straight into the eye. And so many people fooled themselves by thinking it doesn't matter what goes in my eye as long as my hand and foot don't do it.
That's right.
And the whole thing is, he says, it's the very same thing. And he even says, the end of this thing, if you don't repent, is where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm.
And so living a right life, you know, right choices, praying, your kids see you pray. Ask God to bless your food. Let them know what God has done in your family and credit him for all the things he's done. And don't let anybody forget. Even if they get tired of hearing you say, oh, you know, here you go again. Teach, 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 talk, talk, talk. They called Jesus a teacher. They called him a teacher. That's a compliment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a compliment. And when you're holding the line and people are wanting to rebel against the line, they're not going to be happy with you. I mean, but if you let go of it, they won't have to rebel. You would have rebelled for them. You know, you got to hold that line. And so this book that we're going to be talking about Fatherless, I think it's just, it is, and I really believe it's frustration when he quit, when he stepped out of his seat, Dr. James Dobson stepped down for Focus on the Family. And this is the frustration of, he was just so frustrated with the direction of America's, because, you know, he fought so hard to mm-hmm. help us get sanity back in marriage and family. And it was just real cool how he did it. And we hope in some way, you know, we can help that be to the next generation, you know, and having those conversations about family. So family's worth fighting for. It is a fatherless generation, but the natural fathers will come back in their place when the spiritual fathers raise up and the spiritual children acknowledge and honor the fathers that are in your family. And it's not just being a father. The father actually has to be honored. That role has to be put in that order. And then God begins to move in that. He loves honor and he moves in honor. I think the most dishonored person and role in America right now is a father.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing. But you know, if you do what's right, if you do what's right as a father, in the long run, you'll stand out. To those you father, I mean, they'll realize the difference in the long runs. The long run, the shooting stars that got the all the little party going on, all the new stuff going on, they're not going to be around.
Mm-mm.
They're not going to be around. They're not committed. A father and a mother is committed to their family. I mean, it's just a given. They're always just trying to figure out how to better father, how to better mother. But a teacher, as soon as it's like a hireling. As soon as the wolf comes, as soon as the danger comes, as soon as the next promotion comes, the next pay package comes, the next job opportunity comes, they're going to get a new word.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
going to get a new word, and it's just not, they're not going to be there. They're just not going to be there. But in regards to being a father and a mother, no matter where you are geographically, you know, it's like, my mother is my mother no matter where I go. My father is my sure. father no matter where I go, because that's what family's about. It's just awesome. Sometimes you're even closer when you're further apart. So we're going to be talking about that today. Obviously, that's just what God's got on my heart to talk about that, and I'm excited about it. We'll be right back in a moment.
Think about this. If you haven't seen R.A. Dickey, R.A. Dickey is on the VFN TV blog. I know John had a chance. Some of you caught this on Monday. He had a chance with Isaiah and Elijah, who are baseball fans, the New York Mets. to be able to spend some moments with him. And his testimony now is available, John, on the VFN TV blog.
I saw that.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. Yes, I saw that.
And tell us what happened there.
Well, it's pretty cool. You know, R.A. Dickey is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a tremendous testimony. I mean, what God has done in his life is just absolutely amazing. He wrote a new book. You can get it, I'm sure, in all the bookstores. It has a very long title, but you can go to VFNTV.com and go to the blog, and you can get the title. But
well, it's called R.A. Dickey, Wherever I Wind Up.
Yes, there's a subtitle there.
Yeah. And subtitle.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool, you know, because he's been through so many trials and so many things in his life.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, I know. But it's cool when you give God credit, you know.
Yes,
when when you arrive to a place of prominence, it's when you come to a place of stage, when you come to a place when the whole world, you know, is looking at you, you don't pound your chest and say, it was me, my hard work, or what I've done, but you give glory to the Lord. And that's what he's done. I mean, the book is very therapeutic because you know, you just see just the trials of any ordinary man. But we had a chance to go see him at the Yogi Berra Stadium. You know, Yogi Berra lives close out here, one of the famous Yankee players of all time. And he was doing a book signing, and we had the chance. You know, my son, we happened to be in Philadelphia not too long ago, and we're standing outside of the Liberty Bell. And we're waiting to get on in, and my son happens to recognize another baseball player. And I'm saying, son, Elijah, it is hot out here. There's no way that this player is out here. Long story short, him and his mom walk up to the player, and it winds up being Bobby Parnell, pitcher for the New York Mets. And so he had to get a chance to get an autograph, and that was a pretty cool experience. And when he walked away, you know, I always like to talk about Christ and talk about the Lord and just let people know about the love of God. And when we left, I said, you know, we didn't even talk to Bobby about the Lord or anything. I says, you know, if we ever get a chance again to speak to someone on a baseball team or someone that maybe has prominence, then we're going to share with them the most important thing in our life. And so here we go, getting ready to see R.A. Dickey. And there was such a huge response to seeing him. I mean, people were showing up all over the place. They were sold out. And we decided that, you know, everyone's getting autographs. We wanted to bless R.A. Dickey with a ball that says iabide.org.
You know, I'm looking at it right now. I can see it. It's pretty cool. It's on the blog. It's on the VFN TV blog. It says, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, think about it. You know, he's a believer, and we wanted to bless him with the opportunity. Hey, listen, you know, this is awesome. You need to abide with the Lord, and I'm sure he is, but we wanted to encourage him with that. And so we walk up to him, introduce ourselves, and say, hey, R.A., we have this awesome ball we want to give you. We know that you're a believer, and I had a chance to encourage him and say, listen, you know, this is your season, this is your time, God's putting you on a platform, you know, share the gospel. And he said thank you. He asked me to continue to pray for him, but I said, I want to give you this gift about abiding and spending time with the Lord. He looked at it. I believe his wife was sitting right next to him, and she was really surprised. She's like, oh my goodness, you know, I guess no one does that. And he said, wow, I'm definitely going to take a look at it. He was pretty touched by it. And so he was willing to take a picture with us. And it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome when you can spend time with the Lord and read his word and have the opportunity to hear God for yourself. That's one of the inheritance that the son and the daughter of God have, that God wants to have a personal relationship with you, that there is no in-between, that there isn't anyone that has to stand between you and God. You know, think about it. Think about it. You may never have access with some of the most powerful men and women of the world. You may never, ever get a chance to meet or talk, but you have access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you sit down and abide with God and read his word. And I encourage you, if you don't have a plan, if you don't know where to start, you know, oftentimes people, they want to read the word of God, you know, but they don't know where to start. They don't know what plan, what to follow. Let me tell you, you can get a simple plan that'll get you started at iabide.org. That's the letter I and the word abide, ABIDE.org. And you can just begin. It's a simple plan. But let me tell you, I encourage you to do it for 6 weeks. Make a commitment. Say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to hear God for myself. And I promise you, he'll speak back to you through his word.
My friend, I want to say, too, to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, You know, I want something to listen to. I want mm-hmm. something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And of course, we're getting feedback from all of a lot of our listeners and viewers that, and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and Africa.
And Africa. I mean, it's all mm-hmm. around the world and America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV. And you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also, once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what? I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio. Welcome back to VFN Radio's first hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John and Chris. I just can't help but just see Batman's, you know, lying in his car or something like that when I hear stuff like that. Holy pancakes, Robin. Or Batman.
Alrighty then.
So, John, talk to us, man.
Yes, oh, my goodness. Well, you know, last week we talked about attacks, cyber attacks. Well, just
What's a cyber attack?
Cyber attack. When someone launches some sort of computer virus against another computer or other computers. They call them to malfunction, cause a virus to shut down, steal information.
So like my laptop or my computer or something can be ruined or something?
Or completely lost, yeah.
Oh,
damaged.
Wow, okay.
So with that, South Korea got a cyber attack, they believe, from North Korea, and at the same time it shut down all of their banking and major news reporting. All the major news broadcasting companies were all crashed.
Now, those guys don't have any electricity up there. How in the world do they know anything about computers? I thought they had a abacus.
Isn't that crazy?
Abacus. I mean, they didn't have any. They don't have, you know, this dude, this evil man, is oppressing these people in North Korea, and he's got people hacking computers. Russia was there with them in the missile launch recently. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Wow.
With that nuclear firecracker. You know, but they were like, you know, right there with them.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what's reported.
Well, they say that everything froze and no one had any access to cash for several hours. And it's just like, ooh, my goodness. This all kind of reminds me.
Deja prophetic vu.
Say that again.
Deja prophetic vu. Prophetic vu.
Yeah.
Deja vu. We've heard that before.
Yes.
A prophetic word.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think about John Paul Jackson's word and what he saw about with the headlines.
Yes.
The vision, the Lord showed him all these headlines. Mm. They were reading across the newspapers. And one of them was cyber attack cripples grid, multiple collapses with restart efforts. And we already know that last week, the first lady's, all her information, her data was compromised.
Are you serious?
Yes, the Secret Service is looking into it, but not just her. It was Bill Clinton. A lot of politicians were and celebrities.
They are not going to be married. It's over. No, go ahead.
They were all into their data, and they posted it online. And
oh,
then
they posted his stuff online?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh my goodness! And I think she wants to run for president, and her husband's stuff's been hacked. There, you know, Hillary. Yeah.
Hillary.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! Somebody's trying to. That's just so bad. It's terrible.
Yeah, you're right.
It's happening. It's happening.
Just like you said, right?
Just like you said, and not only that, but China's been known to hack all in the United States. I mean, stealing all type of intellectual property, which is, you know, companies that operate in the United States and other countries, they have, you know, information, you know, they're all of their stuff that they take to run their business, China's stealing it all the way through the internet. And so you look about all the stuff that's actually happening right before us prophetically. I mean, God's word is coming to pass. And one of the things we need to be prepared to really get off of this grid,
to live off the grid, because at one point we're probably going to be off of it.
Well,
it's just going to shut down.
Sure. Yeah.
When we say grid, I mean, think about this internet grid of all the communications. And you know, think about this, too, that it was reported by CBN News that they tracked all the way into China, like you're talking about, the very place of the people
who came and hacked the Department of Defense. They tracked the very building in China of where when you can hack the Department of Defense, it's like, ma'am, your check-in count's over. You know what I'm saying? When you when you can hack that, or you know, it's when all the banks in Cyprus can just tap every bank account for 10% because you're supposed to be not connected.
Wild?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And
is
so
that wild.
Oh yeah, and that and some of the things the Lord has shown us about cash money and digital and all these things going on. I mean, things are kicking in, like you said, with these headlines. But I want you to talk about more. Now North Korea with the abacus. No, these guys hacked, and probably because Russia, remember, hacked when they were going to go into a country, Hungary, I believe it was. Mm. And the first thing they did before they went into that country is they just crippled their whole a cyber attack, everything.
Mm.
And
wow.
It kind of disabled so much stuff they couldn't even fire their things or whatever coming in. And that's when we came in and began to help them out. And so you're saying North Korea, and so Russia, if Russia was there with them when they were doing the nuclear firecracker, then
high probability.
Maybe they gave them the technology to be able to hit. Maybe Russia hit South Korea using North Korea's computer.
Wow.
Because, you know, this young man, he doesn't know how.
He's 28 years old, hanging out with Dennis Rodman as his best friend, by the way.
Right.
He's like, okay, help me.
I thought Dennis looked North Korean, but I couldn't believe that. That's another story. Anyway.
Move on.
Yeah, move on.
And so talk about that. So then what happened when they attacked the computer systems of, by the way, just you know, people go, that's South Korea. That's where your phone came from. That's where your refrigerator came from. That's where your TV came from. They're the most cutting edge technology, probably nation in the world, is South Korea. Remember, they have people addicted to technology there, and they're having to take them through therapy to get them off of this stuff. And so you're looking at your LG phone or your LG
Samsung,
all these different things. You're talking South Korea.
It's huge.
So that means if they're hacking that, they're hacking America with the LG products and the Samsung phones and all that. So what happened when they did? What did they do? They crippled something?
Yeah, it crippled all their banking for several hours, so they couldn't get any of their cash out. They said to Starbucks. Starbucks lines were across the block of all things because they had to use cash.
What's the last thing you did before you entered the gates of hell? I was waiting for
exactly.
Cappuccino, and I was very upset, and I said some things I regretted, and I didn't have a chance to repent.
Right.
No.
Isn't that crazy? But they got everything back up. They said that nothing in their government was compromised. I mean, compromised,
you know, come on,
right.
They know,
are they really
right?
going to say?
Everything's fine.
Everything.
Remember the guy in Iraq? He's like, everything's fine. Missiles flying over his head. You remember him during the war? Everything's fine. It's wonderful. We're defeating them, you know.
And
he had like one leg missing. He's everything. We're the Moab bomb, the Mother of Our Bombs. Like, how could he be saying this? And he's like that spirit of lie, you know. It's just like, it was just amazing. That man lied to his end.
They interviewed some instructor professor at Korea's college, and he says there's no way that it cannot be an attack for all of the systems to shut down simultaneously. And so they got everything back up, and now they're researching to find out more what happened. But you look at, I mean, it's happening everywhere. I mean, even last week we talked about on VPN Radio that Google admitted that they violated privacy when they were doing their street mapping, all the mappings that we enjoy right now, and they had access to all sorts of people's private information.
Anybody who did not have a security code on their routers, they sucked all your data out of your computer with your latitude and longitude graphics, and so they know you played solitaire. I don't know what they're going to do with it. And they kept it.
Yeah. Well, the article actually said they casually scooped up passwords casually.
Right.
Real word.
Right.
Emails and all the personal information.
Which means is they pickpocketed you without you knowing it.
Mm.
The smooth move, right?
Yeah.
That's appropriate. Smooth move. Okay.
Find only $6 million when they actually make $32 million.
Did you see the fine? I was like,
is that
could you
nuts?
Just fine Google $6 million for just robbing everybody and violating their constitutional rights? Did you just Buying them $6 million, and you know,
I don't know what's more offensive, the fact, yeah, right, that the fact that you find them $6 million.
Right, right. They're just like dug in their pockets. Hold on, man, I got that for you. Right, here you go, $6 million, and give them $6 million.
Mm-hmm. 12-year-old son says, "Dad, isn't that like nothing?" I'm like, "Yes, son, absolutely."
And you
like
may be thinking, bucks. You may be thinking, you know, what does this have to do with God? It has everything to do with what the Lord is doing in technology and how things are moving, and the only way the adversary can control people, since he's not omnipotent, he doesn't know all things, he's not omnipresent, he's not all places at all times, he does not know the beginning from the end, he just knows what data he gets. They have to track by data, they have to track people by information and data gathering. And you know, years ago it was a ledger, you know, and it was tattoos on people's arms. And but there has to be some sort of logical trying to, and now this technology, I mean, you can track anything anywhere. As I mean, there's places that, anyway, you can track anything.
Well, look what Hoover did with paper. It's like,
oh, I know.
With files, with paper.
Right, right. Right. And now people can do stuff like that, and then somebody can just take that data. And by the way, you know, everything that's done in darkness is going to be shouted from the rooftops. And right. And realize this, you know, everybody has sinned and everybody's fallen short, and that you need to make things right with God now and begin to live a life right now and acknowledge that my life turned at this point, and this is the point that I'm living for God. And because it's not going to end well for those who are God's people, because the last battle is going to be against JJ, you know. Mm-hmm. It's going to be coming against the Jews and Jesus or the Christians, and in trying to stop the forward movement of the kingdom. And so things will happen. And the very last thing that'll happen is an economic thing where we talked about it before on VFN Radio, is that the mark of the beast, it's going to be about an economic decision, how to be able to buy or sell, to do business. And everything's set up now to be able to do that, just people aren't willing to buy it. Actually, America, it's the Constitution of America and the God of America and the church in America that if and I'm seeing people sell out left and right.
Mm-hmm.
But if we humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, you know, and God will hear us and heal this land, and very well may prevent this economy from kicking in, at least for a generation or a season or something of that nature. But so many people sell out for money. So much business is national now, international. And people say, well, it just makes sense. You know, the Constitution is kind of blocking our international business. We need more like an international constitution done by the United Nations and all this kind of stuff. And the internet needs to be regulated. So it needs to be more of a, you know, these borders, an open nation, an open society, George Soros says. And
right,
it's like,
now,
right,
the Cyprus banks are actually shut all week. Can't get any money
until they
out of
vote
the bank.
They're gonna shut them until they vote.
Yes, until they vote.
So if they don't vote for 2 weeks, they probably won't even open them. It's like, vote. But the vote that they can take, well, not only that, one of the head leaders of the church there,
oh my goodness,
did you
yes
say,
yes,
he took
yes
all the wealth of the church, all the assets of the church, all the money of the church, and he gave it to the Cyprus government.
Yes,
to help them out with their billions of dollars. It reminds me of you know, Solomon trying to make a covenant and takes what's God's and gives it. And I don't know where they stay, but in the name of God, they did that. And I'm like, mm-hmm, oh my wow goodness, you know, what was that?
Yeah, wow. I saw a politician from the UK being interviewed, and he was warning everyone from the UK. It says, get your money out of there right now. It's like, they're willing to do anything to prop this up because they know that once Cyprus goes or any of these other countries go, it's going to be a domino effect. It's the domino effect. He was warned, says, UK right now needs to go ahead and encourage everyone to pull all their money out of there because it's not going to be there.
Yes, and Cyprus got this predicament because they invested in Greece. And Greece collapsed, and now Cyprus is collapsing. And what you're saying is the EU is going to start, you know, like, I mean, dominoes.
Spain is hemorrhaging too. I mean, it's just like, it's.
And if you go back and listen to the prophetic words
spoken out on VFN radio. Go to the VFN Torch, and you'll actually see we talked about these dominoes coming. Mm-hmm. And you have time to prepare now. The best thing to do to prepare is repent.
Yeah.
Abide.
The locksmiths, and we talked about this on VFN radio, the locksmiths in Spain, they decided they were going to bend with the people. They're no longer going to lock these homes. They have foreclosures everywhere. And people are staying in their homes, and they're getting other apartments to live in that are not theirs because they have no place to go.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
We got more when we get back in just a moment.
You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching. We're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is. And it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction. That our God, through his son, Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you got to meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners. And by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
John, have you had a chance to check out Vine Fellowship Network at University?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my goodness. VFNU. I just want to encourage you that, you know, if you've received Jesus in your life and you want to know more and you feel that God is just calling you to go deeper in him, to just, you know, there's a call upon your life. You know, there's a reason that you're a part of this generation and you're asking yourself, how? If you're asking yourself, how do I do this? I just want to encourage you, go and check out vfnu.org. You know, God's got a plan for your life and you play an integral part of this generation. You play an integral part and God has a plan to use you. And you can find out more of what God has in store for you. Find out more at vfnu.org.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. To just partner on a monthly basis. To financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to vfntv.com and click on giving. vfntv.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in this first hour is Pat and John and hopefully Chris. We are, we were talking about Iran and Israel a little bit earlier right there. If you missed the what we just spoke about North Korea has done a cyber attack on South Korea, I truly believe that it was Russia's partnership with them, which Duderman's son had already seen the treaty between North Korea and Russia, and I believe China, by the way. I'm sure China does not like South Korea in regards to economically because they serve such a powerful force.
Mm-hmm. And very prosperous, yeah.
And the whole purpose of it was to be against the dollar.
and they no longer have the dollar as the main currency right there. But this huge threat in Israel right now, I want you to listen up, CBN News, about the biggest threat, Israel's number one threat that they're concerned about right now in regards to what is taking place in Israel. Listen up.
They have all the ingredients for a nuclear bomb. They know how to spin centrifuges. They have 10,000 centrifuges. They have enough fusel material for 5 to 7 bombs. They have the knowledge. They haven't decided to do the last tactical mile, but strategically they are ready for the bomb. Why they are not breaking out tonight or yesterday? Because it will take them about 4 to 6 months to enrich the uranium, which is now in the low level of enrichment or medium level of enrichment, to a military grade. And in the eye of the Iranians, 4 to 6 months are too long time. And the situation in the world is not such that they think that they can get away with it. They want the time of breakout to be much shorter, and they are waiting for international crisis that the attention will be moved from them. This can happen in 2013, and if Iran will decide to break out, it will be a huge challenge for Israel and for the international community. The Iranians can cross the red line of the prime minister whenever they decide that they want to enrich more for 20%. Until now, they are very cautious. When they approach the enough fusel material for one bomb, they are transforming it and to a fuel, to a nuclear fuel for their Tehran research reactor. But they can cross this line anytime that they will decide to cross it. And still, according to their perception, it is still under the umbrella of the NPT. So this is the main challenge in 2013, whether the Iranian will challenge the international community or whether Israel will decide that this is the time to do something about the Iranian nuclear issue.
Think about that. It's just kind of hard. You got to just imagine this. Israel's smaller than New Jersey. Israel has 6 million Jews. That's it, just 6 million Jews in it. America has approximately 6 million. Israel has approximately 6 million and a few other scatterings in the world. And you think what Hitler did. Hitler killed, in 6 years, he killed 6 million Jews. What Iran is wanting to do, Iran's wanting to kill 6 million Jews in 6 minutes. And the whole world's watching. And the church is asleep. I mean, she's not even reading her Bible. You know, she's not even reading her Bible. Was it 81%? They're not even reading their Bible, according to George Barna. And definitely you don't know the perspective of Israel, if God's perspective of that. And Israel right now has, if you've never been to Israel, you know, remember when we were up north, northern parts of Israel and all? Now they have all types of 20-foot, 30-foot fence all the way around everything. Like walls and concrete and steel. But it's like surrounding Manhattan. It's like, but the whole rest of the world's against Manhattan. It's like, that's like not, you know, it's obviously, it's good odds with God because God's not going to let it happen. But the fact that if we sit silent while she is in danger of losing her life, you know, and the threat is against her. And really, you know, God may be looking at us and saying, you know, what's your response? There it is. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to stand with Israel? Are you going to defend her? Are you going to tell her enemies, you know, don't even think about it? Are you going to remove this impending doom of building nuclear bombs and understanding that North Korea has nuclear capabilities already and Russia's partnering with them? And Russia's wanting Cyprus now. They're wanting to swing down to Cyprus. They're wanting to they're all in Syria, and Syria is right on. It's like the hat of Israel. It's right on top of Israel. Yeah, Iran and Syria.
And they're certainly friends with Iran.
Yeah, friends with Iran. It's like it's every nation around her is like a trembling cup. Hello. And so what I'm sensing is if any blows happen to Israel, you can imagine if somebody's like taking a fist and they're gonna punch someone else, and you're looking at that fist going towards their face, but you yourself are the one that's gonna feel the punch.
Mm.
Because God's not going to let Israel, you know what I'm saying? But because you didn't respond, you know, it's the time clock. Ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. And understand that that gavel is going to not land on Israel. That gavel is going to land on the church who sat silent. And the driving force, Satan's wanting to destroy God's people. That's always been since day one, since the garden. We've seen it over and over again. And for some reason, sometimes those that even call themselves Christians are partnering with a destruction.
Right.
And so Israel surrounded us. So all that beautiful area, you know, that we were a part of when we told the security we were doing. And
I was praying.
Yes, praying. Yeah.
Oh, great.
All I know is they took him behind the curtain. Americano, I don't know what happened
here,
there.
Americano, come here.
But he came out really humble and we just moved on. But it's just they're living in a fortress now. They're living in a fortress. Imagine being in a real high crime area and you have a lot of gang violence in your neighborhood. You know, people are being shot crossfire. I mean, you're going to put bars on your windows. You're going to put stuff up. You're going to begin to put fences around. You're going to begin to buy dogs. And it's like, that's not the way to live. I mean, that's a terrible way to live. But especially if you are, you know, Israel, if you're the apple of God's eye, and we're saying, listen, imagine putting a barbed wire fence around God's eye, over his brow, under the part of his eye. And that's just ridiculous. I mean, really? We're going to allow that to take place? And it's just totally amazing because the same time the president is there in Israel, the same time he's there in Israel, verbally saying, hey, you know, we're going to do some positive things. What's already been done, the very ones that are on the other side of that big fence they're putting in is saying, we want to annihilate you and push you off the face of the earth. And we won't be satisfied until a rock tells a Muslim, hey, there's a Jew under me, come and get this one too. I mean, that's what it says in the Quran. And they're demonstrating it. And we just gave them $1.3 billion on the other side of the fence. Well, we gave Israel words.
Right.
And we gave Morsi dollars and fighter jets. You know? And we gave Turkey the Iron Curtain. Mm. We got the Ottoman Empire, you know, visionary. We gave them an Iron Curtain.
Mm.
And we're giving Israel words.
Squat.
Words. And I'm thinking, this is not good, church. This is not, you understand, we are in times. And if you look at the history of the world, this is what you'll see. You'll see tyrannical rule and bondage, you know, slavery. That's the whole history of the world. When you're seeing take place right now in America and in Israel is a unique thing that's recent. It's a recent thing. And Israel sees that if you look at their history, what they said, we appreciate America because America gave us democracy. That we gave them democracy in the context of that. No king, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, which means this experiment could end. And I think, you know, future generations will say, what'd you do with the freedom? What'd you do?
Mm-hmm.
Just shut up and pass me the straw for the bricks, right? You know, I mean, come on. What are you going to say, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
As your child's being sold off to be someone's servant. Wow. Yeah, what are you going to say? As your wife is being taken to be converted into whatever religion. They're, what are you going to say? You're owned at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like, we're willing to give that up? Is that we're not going to turn to God? God gave us the opportunity to walk in freedom. Is this what we're going to do with freedom? And I just want to encourage you, if you have not yet gone to Original Intent of America on the VFN Torch, which you can get to at VFNTV.com, you need to go back and begin to study the original intent of two very important things, the church and America. We got to get back to basics. It's not as complicated as religion's permission to sin has made it out to be. It's a real, it's just a relationship with God. And when you really love God, you don't want to hurt God, or you don't want to see God's people hurt. Mm-hmm. But then love keeps you from sinning against your brother, mm-hmm. or at least it gets you to the point of being sad for the fact that you did, and you want to go back and apologize for it, and you want to make it right. And it's love is our identification card. He said, love each other. New commandment I give to you. Love each other. And by this, all men will know you're my disciple if you love one another. And it's like, oh my goodness, we got to get back to the simplicity of the being the family of God and hanging out with Jesus, being an abiding relationship with Jesus. I mean, right. Don't you want to hang out with somebody who hung for you? Mm. Don't you want to hang out with somebody that proved their love to you? They said, listen, you've done all these wrong things, but I'm going to make them right by my own personal sacrifice. And I want to tell you and lead you and encourage you and love you. And I want you to be my bride. I'm excited about living with you forever. Why wouldn't you want to hang out with me unless you believe the lies of religion? Listen, so many things are taking place. There is hope if we turn to the hope that's in Jesus Christ. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.